episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
To you, O earth and sea. For the devil sends his beast with wrath, because he knows his time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is whatever this episode number is. Am I going to get paid for this?
Thank you very much, Vincent Price. Sounding like a Dalek, actually. Vincent Price. Could have done some of the Dalek voices with a, you had a funny voice like that. Episode number 40. Did we do? I'm trying to catch up with the Rick and Rollo shows. 61, we've done of them. And the Be Tolds, I think it's like episode 43. Would this be right? 43? Episode number 43, Be Told. And I'm trying to catch up. Because I'm way behind on these shows, and I've done way more of other shows on the Truth Meets Network, truthmeets.com. Thanks to Jollo, the fantastic producer with Medusa. Yeah, I'm just coming in here on Saturday. A wonderful day. Very cold, though. Let me just tell you now, we've had weird weather. 40 degrees at least, and maybe worse inside my house on Christmas Eve. I mean, really hot. And then the next day was 13 degrees outside, 12 degrees in the morning, really cold, and it got to about 22 degrees. And the beaches, I've just been to the beach, and this is like on the, where it should be just mentally, you know, stressful just to go to the beaches I live near. Nah, this looks like completely normal. Yes, there was a giant shark fatality here 3 weeks ago, or was it a month ago, with the Swiss couple. And I was talking to a girl who owns the gym yesterday, and she said, yeah, there's sharks. So I get sharks everywhere at the moment, and she's a surfer, so she's out there risking her tattooed legs dangling in the water dressed up as a seal. But no, she still does it, you know. Did I call her an imbecile? No. Do I think she is? Kind of. Sorry, I'm not getting out in the water at 7 a.m. in the morning at shark feeding time, or 5:30 in the evening, shark feeding time, for nobody. But twice now we've been to the beach, and it's just been empty, and apparently there's been a shark sighting on the beach nearby. So everyone, you know, if there's a man-eater around, this should be a name of a song. I think I should send it off to, what's his name? What's that band? The Maneater. Not a bad song. No, actually, no. Not a big fan of that band. Not a big fan. There's definitely less people around it. Yet there are caravans arriving en masse everywhere. But what are they doing? They're not going to the beach. They're not going to the beach. And they're not going to the gym. The gym has been completely empty, save one other person. Every time I've been, fantastic. I love it. I had the best Christmas day ever. Nobody was here after 12 p.m. Just my two sons were here in the morning. And because I give money now, I didn't have to run around and buy a whole lot of useless things. I bought a couple of little things and that was it. And it was a wonderful day. I talked about on the Rick and Rollo show that we just did on Christmas Day. Nobody was here. I was able to go and watch Raymond Briggs Christmas, which I always do. It's my new routine. My routine, totally fantastic for Christmas. And then I watched the one after he did, or not he did, someone else did a sequel to it, Channel 4 Britain, not Channel 4 BBC, yeah, Channel 4 BBC, called the Snowman and the Snow Dog. And I've already talked about this on the Rick and Roller, but it was extremely, typically that they always make the single parent this time, because the first one, Snowman, had a mother and father, the guy, and now this kid from the same house has moved, obviously, and a new child arrived with a single mother and a dog, and the dog promptly dies 3 minutes into the show. Miserable, absolutely miserable, but it's a nice ending to the story. Very enjoyable, very enjoyable. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. Now, I want to come on here to talk about a few things that I've taken note of over the last whatevers. And this is fireworks. One of the biggest things that I loved as a child, that was home fireworks and blowing up things and firing skyrockets at each other. Fantastic. Going to fireworks displays, not bad, but I got sick of it when I started realizing that the trauma it puts animals through. And birds. Are birds animals? No. Oh, I think they are. Yes, they are. Well, also they are. They are mammals. They breathe. And I've been on about this for a long time, and I kept saying, why would they, tell us for polluting the air, and we're getting told off for pollution and stuff like that, and wasting things, whatever. Blow up $10 million to $15 million to $20 million worth of fireworks on New Year's Eve, and the winner is Sydney, and get away with it. It's because it's a must-be, as a there with that must-be too. Now, I've been seeing a lot of an amazing stuff on Facebook, which is where I watch most of my most amazing stuff these days. I stay off. I don't need to go onto weird conspiracy sites anymore. Facebook is a lot of good stuff. And there's been a lot of good stuff on cymatics and incredible imagery of, there's some device this guy's got that vibrates the water, and he's got a camera that and it colorizes the vibration. And of course, it's exactly the same patterns that you can see on big old churches in Europe, the incredible cymatic patterns, and cymatics itself and nature, all three. These are sound vibrations. Now, what would be the anti-cymatic? What would you describe as an anti-cymatic? Well, I'm going to say an explosion is, and a big firework explosion, it does create amazing cymatic-like patterns, but it actually creates this very disturbing crack, and it goes on for hours. I'm suggesting there's some kind of portal-type weird bad demon stuff involved with fireworks. Yes, I am a conspiracy theorist. Yes, I am. And that's why they're doing this thing, and they get away with doing it, and they have to do it every year. China was the manufacturer, the original inventor of fireworks, I do believe, according to the mainstream narrative. He's just having a nice cold, semi-cold beer. So I'm suggesting this whole fireworks thing is part of a more nefarious thing. Every New Year's in Sydney, the winner is, they don't just blow up a little bit of fireworks. We're talking millions of dollars worth of fireworks. They do it in most countries, England, America, but particularly America loves fireworks, big time. Now, when these things are going off, it's creating this very disturbing noise that affects our man's best friend, particularly the dog. D-O-D, D-O-G, which is reverse of a G-O-D. Everyone knows that. They get really, really, really upset. And I'm talking about traumatized. They're always running away. There's, veterinarians and rescue shelters know and are aware of this thing. But yet their cries for, can you just not knock it off if it's that bad and polluting the atmosphere? Can you just stop it? No, they won't. They won't, because there's a must be involved with it. And I'm suggesting it's like the anti-semitics. It's like a decreation noise, even though it does form these artificial patterns using very clever technology with the people that design the fireworks. A career that I'm surprised if there had been an opportunity, I would have been involved with, as a say, up till about 15 years of age, maybe older, whatever that's called, the firework, people that do fireworks. What a great job, but dangerous. But I mean, all you did is drive around and set up fireworks display all the time. And I would have loved that until I realized the nefariousness of fireworks. And there are, it's definitely nefarious, guaranteed. Because it's the poor seagulls and the aquatic birds and everything around Sydney, you just see them flying around screeching for hours afterwards because it just disturbs their everything. And dogs, as I say, the bigger the dog, the worse. Running around, in one case, clients I had, they had two guard dogs, big German shepherds. She said that every New Year's she'd try and calm them down, give them medication, whatever. But no, it was the noise from these fireworks would go right through a double brick giant factory home and make her dogs run around circles, basically defecating themselves. And that wouldn't have been a fun thing to have to clean up, I'll just say that. So the big there with the nefariousness of fireworks, 1,000,000,000%. All right, we'll move on for that conversation. I'll just go and check my notes that I've taken. Fireworks, demons, disturbing. It's definitely something there. Definitely something there. And I was also, speaking of nefarious noises and everything, wind turbines. Now, listen to possibly on that germ warfare show, which is definitely one of my favourites now. That guy interviews some of the best people. And I think he had a guy on about wind turbines, or whatever show it was, but they're talking about Scotland's apparently literally jam-packed with these things. And it creates this really evil low frequency. And it travels, that low frequency can travel for miles and miles and miles and miles. Now, that would mean a grid pattern set up with these things would be creating people just getting sick, via this anti-somatics. The anti-tone of nature, guaranteed. So I'm suggesting, and other people, I'm not the only one here, but that somatics is being inversed by low-frequency wind turbines and fireworks. That's my claim. Prove me wrong. That is my claim that I have. That is my own. Prove me wrong. These things look ugly. They're everywhere. Meant to be if you look at the actual stats of the manufacturing, transport, because they're all coming from China. Yes, they are. The cost of installing them, et cetera, they are not economical whatsoever, yet they're a must be. And we've got them getting set up left, front and center over here, even out at sea, apparently. Bad, nefarious. Nefarious. Oh, the sun's out and I can see shadows on the trees, which is wonderful, yet it's really cloudy up there. Now, moving on to other nefarious things, these new weather patterns that we're getting, and the Gold Coast at the moment particularly is getting these things called microbursts. Well, a microburst happened over an area in the Gold Coast. And it created, I saw the footage of it, a crane came down. It was fucking full on, I would call it a mini cyclone rather than just a microburst, but that's what they are, I guess. But can these be summoned at will, or are they just going to happen because of the weather patterns? I don't know, but that was a real full on one that just kind of bang happened. No warning. Incredible. And it reminded me of the Victorian thunder lightning. Was it thunderstorm lightning, lightning asthma, whatever it was called, thunder asthma, lightning asthma? A phenomena happened about 10 years ago in Victoria where a whole lot of people had asthma attacks after a fairly big storm. And they blamed it. They say, oh, no, this is, this is a new phenomena, global warming, lightning asthma, thunder asthma, what do they call it? To me, I would have just said that one of their plane loads of whatever they dumping off to make these things happen every now and then dropped a bit lower, and the people took in a whole lot of chemicals, and the asthmatics probably carked it. C-A-R-K-E-D. It's an English term, I would say. Carked. You carked it. Now, And it's never happened since, yet it's still a thing, apparently. And you have to be aware this time of year for thunderstorm asthma or lightning asthma. Completely made up new thing. And this other rebranding in Gold Coast at the moment, microburst, which I would call this mini cyclone. Would that be a better way of calling it? Because they do happen, and that can be localized to a small area. But that was a really, really full-on one. You can see it on YouTube if you look up Gold Coast Microburst. I guarantee it will be on there. Blah, 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 blah. What else can we talk about? I'm getting everything out here. Winter at Conan Doyle. Oh, so Conan Doyle, Frank Baum and Arthur Conan Doyle. I was talking about, and I will talk about this, the Cottingley Fairies story. There was a couple of girls in 1910 or thereabouts, a very long time ago, came out with it. They'd taken photos of fairies. And this wasn't like a minor thing. This was like a major story in the... you're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. That was a wonderful, your wonderful voice. The bumpers from the truthmeets.com. Send them some money. Send them some money. Don't be like Rollo. Use the platform and not send any money. Send some money. Anyway, yeah, the Cottingley Fairies. Fantastic story. Absolute. I mean, I looked at them and go, hey, it looks like, yeah, they look like cutouts to me. But back then, no one had thought of, you know, photo photography and fakeology. Whatever they're doing, it was unheard of. So most people saw a photo and just believed it. And these two little girls, oh, I've got this giant, dangerous wasp in my house. He says, live on air. And I'm talking about one of those big suckers. But I'm not going to kill it. I'm going to let it find its way up if it can. They kill spiders too. You know what they do? They fly in, find huntsmen, big spiders, and inject larvae into their spider. The larvae erupts just like the film Alien out of the spider's abdomen, kills the spider, and a little new wasp flies out. Can you believe it? Nature is up there like James Cameron. This is, again, pinching nature stories for the movie Alien, guaranteed. Anyway, the Cottingley Fairies, the two little girls, found it. Now, Arthur Conan Doyle got involved. This is the guy that created Sherlock Holmes, who was also heavily, like a lot of people back in the day, into spiritualism. And you had ectoplasm. You had spiritualism became even bigger after the First World War because of all the people that, I'm sorry, someone out there, that lost relatives in the First World War were always keen to talk to them and find them again, and spiritualism became even bigger after the First World War. And this is on record, and you can see the amount of spiritual churches that popped up, and they were all over the place, all over the place. And even still to this day, you've got that thing called, they're a spiritualist church, forget what they're called, but I went to one night and they had messages for me. And I was sitting there trying to slump down in the back of my seat and they kept pointing to me and going, have we got a message for that person sitting over there? And it was like, I was like, no, that's not me. And, but really strange, bizarre. As if anyone's ever been to one of these spiritualist churches where they sit there taking messages from, if you know your stuff about the Bible, they're taking it from entities, not from another dimension. Or are they? I'm not sure. But according to the Bible, that those people talking to you aren't your dead relatives. No, they're someone else that knows enough about you to be able to fool you into these things. Anyway, this the Cottingley Fairies is well worth looking into because it was a literal, this is fakeology for sure. And they ended up coming out admitting that they cut out pictures from some old book that they had and took photos of them. Now, I think it's bigger than that, though. I think this, now where I'm going to go, away with the fairies here, but let me just say this, the Irish, the Maori and the Scottish are three of the most tough, unfrightened people that like fighting bare knuckle or eating you. That's the Maori. It's like, this is back in the day. And fighting you and eating you. I don't think it was cannibalism in Scotland or Ireland, but there certainly was in New Zealand and all the other Polynesian countries. But these people are not the kind of people you make jokes about or pick on. They're always tough. Yet, what's the one common denominator that they are absolutely terrified of? Yes, yes, it's fairies. Laugh as you can laugh, but they don't laugh about them. And I even read up to, you know, we played a song for Christmas a couple of weeks ago on the Rick and Roll Show, or last week. We played the song, the lullaby, New York lullaby, and it had by that drunkard London Irish, that sang for the Pogues. Now, I was reading an interview with him. He's passed away now. Why can't I remember his name? It'll come to me. He was, in this interview, the journalists were saying they were off their heads in a bar in Dublin somewhere or out in the country somewhere. They were in the country. And he drunkenly said, "You've got to come with me. You've got to come with me." You know, if he talked like that. And he showed them fairy circles that were forming in the next day. And they were he said, "You don't go out this way. You don't go out that way. I tell you no." And he was warning them about the fairy circles. Now, the Scottish are the same. And Danny, this friend of mine up the road who owns the bottle shop, Prince Charles's bodyguard, tough as fucking nails, absolute fucking, just a proper fighter, you know, any opportunity, guaranteed, proper Scotsman. He's got, on his back, he's got a fairy tattooed on his shoulder. Now, he did that when he was in the Royal Marines, before the SAS, and because he said this, that having a fairy protecting your back is worth more than anything else. And other people said, you know, no one made fun of him having a fairy tattooed on his back, because they all knew that in Scotland and Ireland, and I'm adding the New Zealand, that the fairy is a terrifying little creature. Now, I'm suggesting they're actually a thing. There was obviously, it must have been a thing. Some little, are there little demons or that little, they are a little entity. And now they're not mucking around. When they joke about them, the Maori would not go into certain areas. There's large tracts of land in New Zealand that were not, they never went into because they said the fairies were in there and they weren't going to go in there. They were absolutely terrified. Now, the Cottingley story come out with this kind of, you know, look, little Tinkerbell-like characters, and, you know, and then they said, oh, they're all fake and there's no such thing. And it was dumbing down. I think the Cottingley fairy thing was a operation to block fairies out of the narrative. There's no such thing. Now, call me mad, but it's been going on for many years. I'm saying there's a there. The Irish, the Scottish, and not only that, there's other groups around the world that, you know, are absolutely terrified. The little people. I'm suggesting, and the ones in New Zealand are blonde-headed. They're not dark-skinned. They're blonde-headed creatures that live in the forest. And the local Maori tribes, to a man, were all terrified of them, or a woman. No one else has brought all this up and linked them all together except for me, guaranteed. I'm the first person to link the Maori, the Polynesian myths with the Maori and the Scots, which are the same. The Scottish and the Irish are very similar, and they are actually the same Celt crew. Highly intelligent, extremely good fighters, and they're also, the Maoris are the same of that particular Polynesian thing. Very smart race of people. Very smart race of people, except but love fighting. If you, and it's happened over there, there's plenty of them, especially the Kelly family that bred in the Irish and the Maoris and created a whole lot of future gang leaders, I'll just say that. Perfect breeding, Scottish, Irish and Maori. You you create as this rogue character that is not to be fucked with. I'll just say that, not to be fucked with. Is that French or whatever? But there's a there, and I'm suggesting that there is somewhere out there that there is a there with this fairy myth. And that's F-A-E-R-I-E, not F-A-I-R-Y that we refer to effeminate men, fairies. And that, to be honest, you know, they should never have been calling them fairies anyway when you know their actual real myth is that these little creatures are dangerous, not to be trusted, and nefarious. It's funny that fairy isn't nefarious. Am I the first person to notice that? Yes, I am. You'll be hearing it first. Totally original material, the Be Told, episode number 43. I do believe it's 43. So, yeah, no, but the funny thing, tying this in with something funny, Terry Jones from Monty Python, and maybe Michael Palin had a bit of a hand in it, put out a book called The Lady Cottingley's Pressed Fairy Book. And it is so funny. And it's, if you can find an original edition, which is very hard and they'll be expensive, it's this, basically the story of this lady, Cottingley, when she's young. She goes around, when she spots a fairy, she goes up with her pressed fairy book, like we used to have pressed flowers, and squashes them. And each page has got this fairy splattered, and it tells you the name of what kind of fairy they were and where she found it and what kind of flower it was sitting on. And they're splattered with their, like, guts and their, you know, like, with their tongue hanging out. Very funny. Very funny. If you can find that, Lady Cottingley's Pressed Fairy Book, highly recommended. This is nostalgia here. This should be on the Rick and Rollo show. No, maybe not. Maybe not. Be Told show, where you hear most of the most interesting things you're ever going to hear ever. Nefarious and fairies. Who come up without me? Big time. Beep, 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 beep. Inflammation. Why am I talking about that? I'll tell you, I am still doing this cheese, cottage cheese, flaxseed oil, and raw honey thing. And yes, I feel fantastic. Yes, I feel fantastic. I'm also taking, again, I said I was going to do it, and I am. Nothing's happened to me so far. I haven't had a giant silkworm burst out of my stomach yet. Yet. But I'm taking seropeptase and natokinase enzymes. So far, so good. Again, no silkworm has burst out of me. Seropeptase is the enzyme that is secreted by the silkworm. And when they need to get out of their cocoon, they just simply release seropeptase and eat through silk, which is incredible. Did you know silk was bulletproof? And that silk and like spider, most bulletproof vests were made out of spider's webs back in the day. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. And silk, a bullet can't go through, like a silk scarf. If you were wearing one or you're in a duel, and someone fired a, maybe not a sniper's 50 caliber round, but I'd say that would probably go through silk. I'd just hazard a guess there. But normally they won't go through silk. A knife won't go through silk unless it's on a particular angle, I do believe. There's a there with silk. Incredible. What do you call it? So this seropeptase is an amazing thing. And I'm going to suggest that the rich elites out there have been using, like the Japanese, enzymes for years to keep them young. That's why they always have, they last well into the, you know, 100 years of age. Rothschild, Rockefeller, and the Queen. There's three. Did you see them hobbling about with cancers and varicose veins and stuff like that? No. Although there was a rumor that David Rockefeller had 5 or 6 heart transplants. And my God, that guy was creepy, but not as creepy as his father, old John. What was he called, old John? They had a name for him. He was just nasty, and he looked like a fucking alien, if you see the old photos when he was old, handing out coins to the poor. That's all you have to do these days. Give free money, and any politician, no matter what scandal they've had, if you give someone free $500 stimmy check, or whatever, they forgive people straight away. They go, hey, well, I'm going to go and get drunk now, or I'm going to go and buy a whole lot of something or other to make me feel better. Everyone, you give people money, you can do whatever. And old Devil, was it Devil John or whatever, Rockefeller, the grandfather of David Rockefeller, he organized, you know, strike breaking team. Was it what were they called? The Pinkertons and those type of people that, you know, were going around bullying and shooting up people and like breaking up any, cause I mean, America, the real history is just giant sweat farms everywhere, just like Britain. Apparently work camps, you know, that song, about the, you know, all my soul to the company store. That kind of thing was going on in America. And this cowboy narrative myth of the Hopalong Cassidy roaming around in the West, total myth. You know, a lot of it was in just big sweat camps and organized slavery with multicultural slaves from Ireland, Scotland, England, obviously Africans, in some areas. Well, they would have been a much harder worker. Oh, no, I don't know about that, actually. The Scottish, which I totally have Scottish genes, we can just work all day, no problem. And I can do a 15-hour day, and I'm 61 years of age still to this day. This wasp is getting me slightly worried, but I can't let him out because there's a big mosquito screen. I'll have to try and do it later. Live on air, the Wasp Report on the Be Told Show, episode number 43. On the December the, sorry, I didn't even say the day, December the 27th, is it? Yeah, 2025, December the 27th. Yeah, what else can we talk about? I need to fill up these Be Tolls to try and make it blah, 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 blah. AI, the destruction of creativity. I would have talked about this before, but of course AI is the destruction of creativity. And 19. And I guess what we'll talk about, how come it's the year of the horse next year, the thing after February, whenever the Chinese New Year is. And I listened to that germ warfare show, and I highly recommend people do. I think this is second to last show with another South African guy talking about the coming mass cull. In 2026, Frank agreed with it. Dave J agreed with it. I sent it to both of them and I didn't hear any. Dave J thought it was fantastic. This guy does bring up nukes towards the end, but that's not his fault. He's, you know, naive to that. But Germ, the cartoonist host of the Germ Warfare thing, put him on this thing and said, have you, actually I'm not even going to do it, but I could. Or bits are off. Nuclear bombs are fake. Don't you know that? That's kind of how he speaks. And he did tell him. But this guy brought up, and then Greg Carwood's show on the Higher Side Chats, he interviewed a guy who was Chewish, that's C-H-O-O-S-I-E-R-S-S, Chewish, who was on about the year of the horse and the blue, that blue things are going to be something. And then I've been on about this movie. What movie just came out and opened up on Christmas Eve? Yes, the blue people of Avatar. And it's called Fire and Ash. Fire and Ashes. Now there's a there with that could be, there's something big coming in the next. So the first guy, the South African guy who was on Germ Warfare, he reckons something big between February, say 16th or whenever Chinese New Year and September the something or other. And he's talking about mass cull. Unless someone comes back to stop it, there's going to be something big and they're planning this. And he said, look, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I'm just reading you what they read. And he was reading from these texts and different people have said it's coming. And I've already said that AI, which is 19, A is 1, and I is 9, 19, AI is 19. They keep bringing it up all the time. If you look up in Strong's Concordance or studying ancient Hebrew, it means slaughter as in the Hebrew. So 19 is slaughter. They keep bringing up this AI. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Are they just, trick, you know, with a look at this arm and I'm going to come smack you with that one. Is it more than just the computer, which is AI is all it's doing. It's machine learning, and it's already learned what you've programmed and put into your computer, and it's just spitting that stuff back out at you, like that whole bullshit about the that people pay to get their genes, you know, genealogy done, and it's just coming from hardworking Mormons that cycled around giving out, taking information from every country they went into and putting in their giant Utah computer base where they know everyone's relations and their ancestry by the way that they did it. I always thought they looked like intelligence agents. We used to joke about it, and yes, they are. That's what they were doing. So when you went to 23andMe and paid 100 spat on a piece of tape, and sent it into them. All they were doing was just Googling themselves, your records from the Mormon, and probably paying a large chunk of money to the Mormons, getting your... Now, I know this to be a fact because my son did it, and all he did get was relatives that were on Facebook that also had done the same thing, that they knew via his Facebook records who he related to. You're listening to... Beetle.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Thank you very much, Sarah. What a voice. So yeah, truthmeets.com episode, Beetle episode number 43. On the 27th of December, 2025, catching up to, I think I'm 10 behind Bongversation, at least, and I'm more than that behind on the Rick and Rollo show, 20 at least. I'll do it, though. I will catch up eventually. So you were talking about the genealogy for ecology, you know, where you go and get your gene records or your, you know, to find out your ancestry, like 23andMe, et cetera, et cetera. And it was interesting to see that when my son came up, he said, we got no Polish or anything in us, even though his mother is definitely half Polish, without any doubt, if not more. And because her records aren't online, because she was adopted, they haven't got those records. So they said, no, you got no Polish in you whatsoever. Now he has to have it. She looks immediately. You look, you know, she's got a very European face. Like, what's that model that wouldn't get out of bed for less than $10,000 a day? Looks like that. Would certainly did when she was younger. It's very, very close. Spitting image. Now they didn't know that, so they didn't put it in his record. So therefore, 23andMe and Ancestry or .com, whatever it's called, are fake. But they are not giving you. Actually, you know, just getting stuff, the records that you've already provided or the Mormons got off you when they were setting up churches in your area. That's what they were doing. That's a fact. So that's a total scam. Total scam. Are we talking about AI? Yeah, so this slaughter, though, is this going to happen? Was this because I'm having one of the greatest Christmases I've ever had, and that's because there's no one here. It's fantastic. Well, one of my sons here at the moment. But it's just a nice, quiet house. There's no noise, no food residue. I didn't eat too much on Christmas Day like a lot of other people do. I talked about that as a total... The reason why we used to have these huge feasts in Christmas was mainly our ancestors lived in wintry countries, particularly the poor of England. And your Christmas Day feast, you ate as much as you could, was because you were probably not going to get much more food afterwards in the winter months. Now, we've been doing that over here in a land with, up till the bees got exterminated last year and all these other, and the farms got decimated by weather warfare sprayed on top of us, creating massive weather events. We're going to have a big food shortage next year. And now it's feeding in immediately with what we're being told is by the proper high-level conspiracy theorists, a mass slaughter coming in the year 2026. Alan Watt, ding, 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 the Scotsman from Canada, he said that he was reading 15 years ago, at least or longer, more, that 2007 he was reading that paper from the American military or the British military saying there's going to be 2026 mega protests on the streets everywhere, and how, you know, they were gaming it back then. Is that the Deagle report? No, but it feeds them with the Deagle. It feeds them with the Deagle report. Now, it's all coming to a fruition this year. 2026 arrives, which is 4 years away from 2030, which is another agenda they've got. So is something coming? Do you need to be asking for divine help? Yes, you do. It would be a lot safer than not. I'll just say that. I pity the fool. Atheists. I pity the fool. Got no time for them. No time for them. They are the most boring people on the planet. Atheists. Oh, cricket and atheism. If you combine the cricket and atheism together and golf discussions, that would be my anti-conversation of the highest magnitude. Golf, cricket, and atheism. Now, these guys have got no hope, no future. They don't believe they've ever got a future, so they're not going to get one, whether they like it or not. Or rather, if they were just, you know, if they'd been poisoned, though, kids were poisoned by their Catholic, going off to a Catholic church and being scared shitless by the imagery that they saw on the walls. There's no, and plus also they were abused by a dress-wearing old homo that wasn't allowed to get married. Nor did he want to, because he was of that persuasion. And they hate the religion thanks to that. They don't count. Okay, they'll be given, I'm pretty sure they'll be forgiven for that. And they'll be saying, look, it's not your fault that you were anti-religious because of what happened to you. But if you have got a brain and you can understand mathematics and music and et cetera, and you can see somatics, look at nature and see the incredible miracles of nature and still have no hope of believing in some kind of intelligent creation, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. I'm not interested in talking to you, and I don't. I find that the atheist, particularly the one that considers themselves an educated atheist, and that's like a lot of university types, they just think, oh, it's impossible, you know, it's an invisible person in the air creating da 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 da. Well, if you can see somatics, and or the other day, while I was under the influence of a what I call an edible, and I suddenly looked at, I chopped a pawpaw in half, and I went, oh my God, there's giant somatic pattern. A fractal, basically. That's what if you cut an organic pawpaw in half, you actually get to see a fractal, like lots and lots of little tiny seeds all forming this star, like a fractal. Incredible. I didn't notice that till I had, had I noticed that before? He says doing something allegedly unhealthy, but is actually healthy, I say. Incredible. Nature's everywhere. And I've got that book, The Beginner's Guide for Constructing the Universe. Absolutely fantastic book. If you can still be a non-believer in intelligent creation after seeing that, and no, it wasn't the aliens that did anything, and I believe the aliens are straight out of Crowley. I've talked about this before. You know, the exact same image of IWAS is the alien grey that you got in Steven Spielberg's SS, 2001 Space Odyssey. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Fantastic movie. I enjoyed that. And it had my favourite UFO person, Jacques Vallée, actually stars in it. I don't know if he's credited as the guy that was going, pressing the giant Simon Says electronic thing. Do you remember them? We had one of them. The Simon Says, a circular thing with a red, green, blue, and yellow, I guess, lights that light up, and you've got to copy each one when it does a pattern. And this is almost exactly the same thing as they were using on Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I saw that when it first came out. Absolutely fantastic. I just watched for Christmas Eve with my son. We watched the new Christmas movie, The Shining. The Shining, he'd never seen before. Fantastic movie. Jack Nicholson, that guy is just one of my favorite actors, particularly in that role as Jack Torrance. Torrance, electricity, water. They're there. Guaranteed. They're there. But absolutely fantastic. But yeah, are we coming into this massive, massive, massive big cull? Just the way that the media is going now, it's a Bondi issue, and you know they're arresting people for posting things, apparently. They haven't got enough police to be able to do this, though. They can only just have token arrests every now and then. They haven't got the facilities to be able to lock that many people up. That'd all be the anti-Palestine protests, for instance. That's what they're talking. They're the people they're coming after. And I know so many of them. Unbelievable amount of anti-Palestine protesting going on out there, which is why there's so much anti-Israel stuff. At a level, again, I've never seen before. Deliberately done. And this is, again, this is feeding in with Bishop Pike's prophecies, but you know, where he warned they were going to make people so sick of Judaism and Christianity and Muslims that we're going to say that you've got to have nothing and we entered a peaceful planet. We'll offer the solution. Sounds almost awfully like Klaus Schwab said when he said they're going to come down swooping, swoop, he would have said. I can't do a Klaus Schwab voice. I'd love to be able to do that, but he has a German accent and I can't do them. He said that they're coming in to the office of the solution. They're going to make people so sick. And I said back in COVID that you notice that your leaders were the most inept bunch of fuckwits you've ever seen in your life. The health ministers, for instance, of America, various states, the Australian one, that frightening tranny, whatever her name is, his name rather, absolutely terrifying. I mean, you had the imbeciles like the Armenian overrepresented, say that again, Armenians are overrepresented in world scene. Gladys Berejiklian, who looks like Pee Wee Herman, etc. No one, and she bought in this dark, she had to say it, and a lot of them did. I think Donald Trump said as well, dark winter. That was a thing, that was a military term, dark winter. And he's got all these dummies suddenly come out, go, you know, Gladys Berejiklian, she come out, she goes, we're going into a dark winter. And you could tell she was just reading it off a script, you know, and a few other people said the same thing. Was it that fat Boris, what's his name, in England? I think he said it as well. It was part of the script, Dark Winter. And are we, though, really this time going into a dark winter? Germ Show and Carl Carwood Show, I both put those as highly recommended, and I put them on the Rick and Rollo highly recommended show to listen to. Dave thought it was fantastic. If he says it's a good show, I'll going to have to listen. And Frank, of course, said this feeds in exactly what he's saying. So there's two of my go-tos when it comes to this kind of thing. Both enjoyed the show. Giant wasp still in the house. And I'm talking, when I say giant wasp, they're about 3 inches long and they've got a massive sting on them that you do not, and they can sting you repeatedly. These things are nefarious. If you're particularly for a spider, they drag spiders. I've seen them dragging a big spider out of a rock and launching, stinging it, and then flying away. And then that spider, about a month later, does John Hurt's impersonation on the alien, and a baby wasp bursts out of its abdomen. Frightening. Isn't nature wonderful? Isn't nature wonderful? Anyway, that'll probably do it for tonight, and we'll leave you with a song. I'm not sure what we're going to play. I played fantastic. I had to shout this out. The Quentin Smurs is my favourite disturbing, slightly funny, brilliant YouTuber who is on Facebook. He's an English artist of some form who's created this group of people. They do basically a mock 1970s children's entertainment that is so weird and disturbing, it's not funny. But his latest one, which is called Knickerbox Show, which is like a found, they discovered three missing episodes in a pond near some area in England. It was funny, I thought, but it's done perfectly. It has all the scratchiness, and they do the song from a mock band, which is them playing and singing, called Electric Knickers, the Electric Knickers Band from 1970. They don't exist, but we played it on the last Rick and Roller we did on Christmas Day. But I'll be doing, I'll put on something else. I'll try and think of it anyway. It'll just mysteriously be at the end of the show. It'll be something not relevant, though I'll make it relevant, I'll be told. Anyway, so thank you for listening. Cold episode number 43. I do believe that's the number. And I'll be back. Could be tomorrow night even. I could do another one tomorrow. I'll definitely do one before I go back to work in 4 days' time. Thank you very much. And you're going to be going out with a song that was to mysteriously appear when I say a one and a two. And I did episode number 43 last week. So that was episode 44. What an idiot. What an idiot. But that just shows you how much I care for digits. Actually, I'm a big numbers person, as you would know. A huge numbers person. But so episode number 44 of Be Told, which will be called Away with the Fairies. Away with the Fairies. So thank you very much. And should we play something by the Pink Fairies? Or something to do with fairies? Nefarious? Fairies? Fairies? Nefarious? I'm not sure. But anyway, thanks. Sorry about that. So episode number 44. You've been listening to episode number 44. Of Be Told on truthmeets.com on Saturday, the 27th of December, 2025. So we'll play a song by someone that will come out after this. So this time, one and a two and a three. And thank you, Joel. Now, bye bye.
Yeah. Thank you.